Burns showed up every Thursday night. Every Thursday night. Every Thursday night. My people, and they're in bondage too long, and I am come down that I may deliver them up and out of that land. Up and out. You got to get up before you can get out. Come on, church. You got to get up before you can get out. You got to get up before you get out. You got to rise and walk. Get up and get out. Arise and go over. Arise and go over. Hallelujah. Come on over here, sister. Arise and go over. Y'all don't, we're not very formal here. I grew up in a real slick church. Real slick. It was so slick and polished. I mean, you had to have, you know what I'm saying? You had to be really sticky to stay in there. You know what I'm saying? I am tired of slick and polished. I'm ready for raw and real. Come on now. Raw and real, that's all you get. When you get me, you get raw and real. I was so on fire for Jesus that some people came to me in 1981 and said, we want to send you to Bible college. I was so excited. Because that's what you do when people are so excited, you send them to Bible college to calm them down a little bit. Come on, let me just mess around a little bit, all right? You got people preaching in Bible college that never was successful out in the field, so they put them into the college. They're teaching you how to do what they couldn't do. But we don't need a college, Bible college. I don't have nothing against it, but it should come out of the local church. The church should be raising up the ministries. The church should be ministering to the poor. The church should be doing everything. But because they neglected their calling to pass on the mantle to the next generation, they sent them out to the cemeteries. Seminaries.
No, you're right, cemeteries.
Come on now. Y'all don't hate me yet. This is just our first meeting. Send them to the seminaries, what the seminaries have become, and it's an orphanage. It's an orphanage. This generation of leaders and preachers have not been fathered. We were raised up in the system. We were raised in the orphanages of human mind. We were raised in the orphanages of a church that didn't care enough to mentor us and raise us up and teach us and lead us all along the way. And they wanted to send us to this place.
That's the truth. My
God. And now the only relationship we have with anybody is on paper. Yeah, I'm a member of the such and such COLLB organization incorporated. When do y'all meet? Once a year. Where at? Alabama. Who do you know? Nobody.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah. And we're not related to anybody. And not only are we not related, we're not connected to anybody.
That's exactly right.
And because we're not connected, we're not accountable to anybody. And everybody, and we just keep reproducing this thing over and over and over and over. I guarantee I wouldn't be connected to anybody who wouldn't come over to my house and eat supper with me.
That's right.
Oh, come on now. I'm just talking.
You tell the truth.
There's a new breed rising up, though.
Woo!
and they're ready to be in relationship. Because this generation don't care how much you know. They don't care how much you know. All they want to know is how much do you care? And then they'll worry about how much you know. So we're going to do it. Well, I'm excited to be here tonight. We don't know what God is doing. All I know is I'm going to preach down here on Thursday nights till something busts loose or until something happens. But I believe something's going to happen. I believe there's going to be connections made in the Spirit. I believe ministry is going to start being connected, networking together. We don't have to believe the same thing. We just can't be against what one another believes. There's nobody that's going to agree on every single detail of every jot and tittle. That ain't what he says. To be in unity don't mean it. We have to agree on the symmetrics of how we do things. That's where we've been tripping up, been trying to get everybody to do everything the exact same way. And you can't do that. You can't franchise the gospel. It's not a McDonald's. It won't work every time, every place, everywhere. It's got to find its own expression. It's got to find its own identity. It's got to find its own work, its own purpose, its own reason for being. Don't you? Yeah, learn from other people, but you be what God called you to be. You do what God called you to do. You become what God has created you to be, and don't be anything else. Hallelujah. As you can see, I didn't fit in very well in that system. Jeremiah said there is a great evil in the land. Yes. Men are speaking borrowed words. Other words, you can go high and low across even this city to find a man that's hearing God for himself. Who's not borrowing the words of another man. And being an echo of somebody else's revelation. Be an echo of somebody else's purpose. Try to model themselves after somebody else. Shame on you. Follow the Christ in them. Follow the love. Follow the nature. But don't do exactly what they do. Find your own expression. I find myself preaching to preachers again. That's what's happening. Can you tell? A lot of preachers in this room. And you don't need a piece of paper that tells you I am a minister. Come on, you don't need a piece of paper that says I'm a somebody. What you need to be is connected. Connected to someone who's going to love you and see you through, who will love you in spite of you. That's called a fathering spirit.
Amen.
This whole city is just plagued with fatherless generation, which is a witness against the church. Everything that happens in the world is a witness against the church. The church is a fatherless society. The sons have been raised up and learned their own path and their own way. Yes. And so therefore in the world we have fatherless generation.
That's right.
I want you to be connected.
Amen.
I want you to find those relationships that you can call, that you can trust. You know what's the problem in the church? We ain't trust nobody.
That's it.
I'm messing around now, I know.
Go ahead.
You can't trust nobody. Now, how in the world, you ask me, how are we going to learn how to love one another unconditionally? We can't even trust one another. Did you know the armor that you have don't have a back on it? God designed the armor of God without a back because you can't watch your back for yourself. You have to trust, everybody say trust, somebody to watch your back. And the reason it hasn't happened, we got tired of getting shot. Got tired of getting hit, got tired of getting beat up, got tired of being misunderstood. And we ran into the caves of isolation. But in that cave, there's only one thing that can take you out of that cave. That's his voice. And if you hear his voice for yourself, you can come out. But just hearing an echo is not enough to pull you out. I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
You thought I forgot my story, but I don't never forget. I take a lot of rabbit trails, but I don't forget. We were in a meeting place down by the airport. We were meeting in hotels. We were just going. Now, this church that we have is so strange because we just go from meeting place to meeting place, from wandering to wandering. Where apostolic church means a church that's hard to join and easy to leave. Now, Jesus had his own church. It was hard to join because after 3.5 years, they still didn't know what he was talking about. Come on now. A lot of pastors in America think their people are just right on the same page with him. They ain't on no page, honey. They're just now following the voice. I went to a church somewhere, and the pastor had all the people sign on a dotted line. You will not watch this show. You will not go here. You will not do that. I said, man, why don't you just go ahead and take a gun and shoot them in the head? You ever told your kids, don't do that? And the first thing they do is go do that. Because the law, everybody say the law. The law entices you to sin. There was sin once without the law, but it was not imputed where there is no law. And if I can get the law out of you, even if you sinned, it won't be accounted against you. I'm just going to mess around a little bit. We doing okay? Is it too hot? I'm getting really hot.
Yes, it is too hot.
Thank you. Got a witness. We were meeting in a hotel down there, and I'm just an Oklahoma guy. I don't know what's going on. Meeting in a hotel and all these people showing up. And my dear sister here, we prayed for her last night, as a matter of fact, but she raised her hand. She said, I got one question. This was about 5 months ago. I said, yes, ma'am, what's that? She said, if y'all are Mago Day of Detroit, then how come y'all ain't in Detroit?
Okay.
Come on now. You know what? That was the Spirit of God. And I went home that night and realized. And I've been waiting for this day. For all these months. To see what God's going to do. You know, Jesus was born in a manger in a place no one else wanted to come. And there's no other reason for me to believe that he won't be coming to this place. I have a handout there. I wanted to get started tonight. Has anybody seen mine? My wife, I preach to her all the time, so. She understands. Now, what I don't want you to do is come to hear me or see me. I want you to hear him. And I want you to learn how to hear him. And no matter who's speaking, try to hear him and see him. And I like to tell people this. Everything I breathe out should be prophecy. And if you want a personal prophet, just make it personal.
Yes.
So I'll just release it out there and you say, it's mine. Takes all the pressure off. Amen. Amen. I'm going to try my best once again, to teach and not get all crazy. But I know that probably won't happen, but... If you turn to page 3, see, I got fancy on you. I got some handouts. The drawing was better. But page 3. It's good to see everyone here. It is so good to see everyone. And I used to tell people this when they'd get born again. I say, just give God 3 months of your life. And if he don't change it, don't ever come back.
Amen.
Amen. And I used to go to these churches and I'd preach and I'd get my money back guaranteed. Amen. No one ever came back for the warranty deed. Amen. So praise God. Well, we got to have a scripture, don't we? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. I believe we are in transition. Amen. I believe we're going to a new place. I believe we're going into the third dimension, into the third day, into a new day, into the day dawning. Not only that, we are becoming the day. Because Jesus said, until the bright and morning star rise in your
heart.
Come on, till the bright and morning star rise in your
heart.
So the bright and morning star is in our
heart.
So on the morning of the third day, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be a rising of the bright and morning day star in our hearts, in our hearts. And it comes after the night time. Many of us has been in a night season with God. Many of us have been in a dry time with God. Many of us have been in a wilderness with God. But God wanted to lead you through the wilderness. He wanted to lead you through the wilderness. Can I just mess with you a little bit? Jesus said this. He says, if you don't know this parable, first the blade, then, you know what I'm saying? A sower sowed the seed. And he said at the end of that parable, if you don't know this parable, how will you know all other parables? Now, when Jesus says that, we got to take a look and see. He says, how will you know all other parables if you can't understand this one parable? The sower sowed the wheat seed. Some fell on hard ground. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on thorny ground. Some even fell on good ground. And it brought forth some 30. I'll say it again. Some
30.
Even every word it's preached, it's going to bring. Depending on where you're at in your life. Because his word will not return void. It will accomplish that which he sent it to do. It will not return to him void. It's going to accomplish something in your life. And you being here tonight, something's going to be impregnated in your spirit that you won't see it immediately, but something's going to begin to eat at you. You're going to begin to awaken to another dimension. Thirty, 60, 100-fold, he said, if you can't understand that, how are you going to understand the kingdom? How can you not understand the ways of God? If you can't understand that God is three, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, he's triune, and he moves in three dimensions.
Yes, he does.
God moves in three dimensions. You are a spirit, soul. Come on, let's say it again. I'm a
spirit.
Three. God moves in three. He created you in a three-dimensional being. A spirit, soul, and body. He says first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. The 30, the 60, the 100-fold. These are called dimensions in God that we must keep progressing and walking into a greater level of God. You start out at 30-fold. I'm holding back, but I'm going to get there. You start at 30-fold. The Feast of Passover.
Yes, there you are. Come on.
The Feast of Passover, where you get saved. Where you get born again. You know you got to be born again to even see what I'm telling you tonight. You must be born again. Let me tell you, let me help you here. Jesus only said that saying one time. And he only said it to one man. And we created a whole system concerning that one thing. Jesus said it one time. And when he was talking to Nicodemus, he didn't ask him, well, do you want to receive me as your Savior right now? He didn't ask him to say the prayer. He said, you must be born again. You must be awakened to see what I'm saying. And Nicodemus said, oh, my God, I don't know what you're talking about. And instead of answering him, he answered him with another spiritual dimension. And he says, you got to be born of water and of spirit to enter into what you're seeing.
Come on.
All right. Come on. Woo, these sayings are hard. These sayings are hard, but church, let me tell you, we're seeing something in our spirit. And God is trying to allow us to walk into what we see. That's called being entering in. The kingdom ain't in a place beyond the moon.
Come on.
The kingdom is not a place way out there. It's not a place that we're just waiting for it. You know, we're looking through the Hubble telescope trying to see if God's going to come down. Let me tell you, God has already come down. He has already come down. He's already come down. And he never left us and never forsake us. He's still here. He's in each and one of us. He's still here. I'm just going to help you. Put your mind in gear and let all your religious traditions get challenged. Because Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus was a leader. Everybody say leader. He was a leader in the Pharisees, a leader of leaders. The word Nicodemus means a royal leader. He came to Jesus in the night. He said, Lord, I know you're a great teacher. Else you have to be of God. And Jesus didn't acknowledge that at all. He just looked at Nicodemus and said, you, everybody say you, must be born again. Who's he talking to? The religious leaders. The religious leaders of their day needed to be born again so they could see what he's doing. Church, the lady washed Jesus' feet with her own tears. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Go your way. And she never opened her mouth. I fear that we made confession a thing that we do, and then not something from our heart. I fear that we ran around in America trying to see how many people that we can get to say the prayer. When we need to see people born again, not just say the prayer, but to be changed. In the first church, believers were added to them. How do they know believers were coming? They kept coming. You can't be born again and not come. You can't be born again and not come to hear God. You can't be born again and not come to hear him. If you're born again, you'll seek to enter in to that which you see. If you're not, you won't. Let me help you here. If you can see it, if you've been truly born again, you see something you've never seen before. You see the image of God shining in your heart and calling you to a deep place. And if you can see that, I guarantee you, no one will ever have to tell you, quit drinking, quit doing drugs. If you've been born again, you'll connect to your new nature, not your old one. You'll abide in your new nature. You'll start walking as a new man, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are, and behold, all things are. That don't happen in America. You get them saved and you spend the rest of your time trying to get them to quit stuff. But see, that makes us feel good about having ministry. Ministry is about waking people up to who they really are. Ministry is about awakening them, making them be born again. You need to be born again so you can see what God is doing, so you can see who you really are in him. Therefore, you can't let alcohol determine who you are. You can't let divorce determine who you are. You can't let poverty, disease, lack. You can't let anything determine who you are. It can't change who you are. Who you are is who he says you are. And that's it. You can go in most churches in America and get so messed up, feel great when you come, and be all bummed out when you leave. Because they're preaching down. They're preaching at Adam. They're preaching at the sin nature. They're saying, don't do this, don't do that. You better do this, you better. And they're just slowly lulling you back into bondage. You got to preach them up. You got to preach to the Christ in me is beckoning to the Christ in you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you're at. You know what the Lord told me about 15 years ago? He said, hey, he pointed at me. He said, I'm not intimidated by your failures. Oh, yeah, every time we mess up, we're talking about, oh, Lord, I hope he don't see it. He don't see it. He done saw it before you did it. He knows the end of the thing from the beginning. He already knows what you're going to do. And he chose to love you anyway. Anyway. Get over yourself and just let him love you. Get over yourself and let him love you. Oh, come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's good.
Holy Ghost, you better go ahead.
My mind.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm trying to lay a foundation.
Amen.
Trying to help you, trying to challenge you, trying to help you see. Let me help you a little bit farther. Can I take it another level? Okay, if you insist. Jesus told him, you can't even come unless the Father draws you. By the Spirit. Unless the Spirit, you can't come. Let me help you though. But once he draws, he'll never let go. Come on now. Once he draws you, he'll never let you go. No matter where you run, how far you get, no matter how long, you can go down to Florida, down in the Keys, and hang out on the beach and drink margaritas, but he will still be there. Wooing you, wooing you, wooing you. And when it is time, everybody say time. When it is your time is up. You got no other choice but to his choice. You got no other way but his way. You got no other course of action but his course of action. Because he knows how to get you where you need to be. You've been lied to. You've been lied to. You've been told that he left you because you didn't make the right choice. You can't make no other choice but his choice.
Amen.
Come on. I know that you didn't learn this in Sunday school, but I'm going to help you. You're worrying about stuff that you shouldn't be worrying about. And you're neglecting things you need to be concerned about. And you get so worried and wrapped up into your own life, you neglect his. Religion always identifies who you're not. We can be religious in here tonight. Don't kid yourself. Religion is a form of identifying Adam over and over again. But the truth shall set you free because the truth identifies the Christ in you. We have this treasure. I don't care if you went on the street to the crack house, into the jail, or even in the church. You must know that we have a treasure within us. I'm here to call out the treasure.
Hallelujah.
To be encouraged at the good work that he started. See, if you're not careful, you're worried about, you thinking like, I started this. I was just doing cocaine every day, minding my own business. And God walked by and said, you'll be with me now. I was just minding my own business, having a good time. Just going through life. And God came by, breathed on me and said, you'll be with me now. The first message I ever preached, I was never born again, but I preached my first message before I ever stepped foot in a church in my life. We were racing back from this lake and my best friend died right behind me. And we were really, we had hot rod cars back then and all that. And my best friend died. And I set out in the middle of the highway behind my car praying to God. You know what? There ain't no atheist.
No way. That's right.
There ain't no atheist. When the plane goes down, no one says, oh, Buddha! First word out of their mouth is, Jesus! Jesus! I was a heathen, and let me tell you, I was as heathen as you can get. More than a heathen. All my friends went to jail and I didn't, and God started a deal with me. I said, whoa, what's this? God started teaching me predestination before I ever got saved. Look back in your life. There's a reason. There's a reason why you went through what you went through. There's a reason. And life is knowing why you went through what you... That is life. Knowing that God spared you here and he allowed you to go through that and he caused you to come over here. Knowing that is life. We was at the hospital. My best friend there, he died in my lap. And I, all the while, but I was praying out in the middle of the highway, praying to God, take him to heaven. Take him to heaven. Take him to heaven. Oh, God. I never doubted for a minute or even a second that there was a God. Most people don't go to church, not because they don't love God. Not because they don't believe in God. Can I just go there? I lived right across the street from a certain denominational church all this while for 3 years, and they preached against me every Sunday. Not once did they come over to my house till after he died. It was a great man. Gandhi. Gandhi said this: although I believe in your Christ, I cannot see him because his disciples are so much not like him. And almost thou persuadest me to follow him, but yet his followers are so much not like your Christ. When I read that, I felt that was the heart cry of our church, of America, as they're waiting to see it for themselves. And we're going to do it. We're going to be raw and real. We're going to be raw and real. Say, hey, it don't matter, honey. I'm still who I am. I'm the same way here. I'm the same way at home. I'm the same way in the grocery store. I'm the same. No matter where you see me, this is who I am. And what you see is what you get. About 75 young people came. Now listen to me. I don't know why I'm telling you this. I just want to tell you where I come from. 75 young people come into the hospital and found out that he had died. And we all went out the back into the emergency room and went out the back door. And out in the back door, there was a parking lot. The anointing of God, like I've never felt, came upon me. See, God is not intimidated with your failures. God will anoint anybody for his purpose. You at the right place, I'll anoint you. And the anointing of God, I'm telling you, came upon me, up on me, up on me, up on me. It always was there. It was there on you. It's there in you. We need to preach it out of you. We need to unlock the anointing that's already within you. I didn't realize I started pacing against this wall. I was pacing so much that my hands were solid white from rubbing. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. And this thing called God has come upon me, and I didn't know what to do with this. It's a feeling I never had in my whole life. It's a sensation, it's a power, it's a knowing, it's a something has overcome me. I don't know what to do with this. And I began preaching, and I looked over, and every one of those 75 people were sitting there just like a congregation, sitting on the floor. I began to preach, but I'll never forget what I preached. I said, you must come to him as you are. And don't worry about your drinking. Don't worry about all the stuff you've been doing, because he is not intimidated by your failures. He loves you in spite of your failures. He's already proven his love, that while you were yet sinners, Christ already died for you. And that message came out of me before I ever met him personally. Because you don't have to meet him personally, because you came from him. I know that's hard to grasp, but we all came from him. We came from him. He breathed us out of his own being. Out of his own being, he said, whew, let there be Amos. Whew, let there be Greta. Whew, let there be Aaron. And you are created and put the very breath of God. I know you don't look like it. And you don't act like it. And your attitude is affecting your altitude, but still, nonetheless, God breathed himself out and created you. Golly. I'm having a good time anyway. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. If we could just live in a blinded state, if we could just look in the mirror and say, I am fearfully, wonderfully made. I am the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And it does not appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when he comes, we shall be like him, because we will be seeing him as he is. So the change into getting into his likeness is starting to see him for who he is. Are you there yet? Page 3. Thank you, bro. Hebrews 9. And Hebrews 9. And then page 3. I want to talk about the tabernacle before we go. Is that all right? I want to tell you as a commercial that we are on the radio on Tuesday nights at 7:30. And these messages will begin to be on the radio, and then one day I'll have to be able to go on there live anytime we want. But I thank God for the privilege of being on the radio. Station 1500 at 7:30 on Tuesday nights. And we have a website. We have a lot of these messages are on the website, so people can listen in their caves. They don't have to come out. Talking about the tabernacle, I was in that cave. When I first started hearing this message, I thought, oh Lord. But it made too much sense. Because this message is for people who are sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of going on and nothing ever changing. I'm sick and tired of talking about how God's this and God's that and never seeing it. And I'm ready to be what he says I am. And I believe that's what Moses said on that mountain. If I can't be what you say I am, then don't take me. The translation is, if your presence don't go with us. But what he's really saying, if I can't be all that you've made me to be, then I can't go. Because I've gone too far, and I don't want to take another step in my own strength. Hey, when I came to Detroit, I was just minding my own business. I'm just minding my own business, sanding cabinets. All men had forsaken me, and I got a phone call and said, I think you're supposed to go to Detroit. Call me tomorrow. I said, I'm going. I'm going. Why not? It's not every day you get a call to move across the country. Amen? I'm just a different kind of person. I used to go to these white churches and preach all the time, and I used to tell everybody I'm white on the outside, black on the inside. And I joke about it, but it's a very serious issue. And I go to all these white churches, I say, where's all the black people at? And they would never ask me back, but I don't care. I'd preach in black churches and say, where's all the white people? There ain't no white people in this city. See, we talk a good talk. We talk about tearing down walls. We talk about breaking the barriers, breaking the walls that divide. We talk about it, but ain't nobody want to do anything about it. But God is telling us, put up or shut up. Get in or get out, because I'm going to have a church with every race, every tribe, every nation, every tongue, everybody going to worship around the throne. That's why I love this couple so much. I love them. I can see great. I see things in them they can't see it for themselves. This thing's about to bust wide open. It's fixing to break wide open. You're going to be glad that you're a part of it. Because what we're going to do, I told a pastor the other day when I traveled, I went to Oklahoma to preach, and I said, the only thing I have to offer you is hope. Okay. I'm sorry, but that's about all I can offer you. It's hope. We had all the faith and been preaching on faith and love, but we need some hope. Yes. Hope gives you the strength to hang on to your faith. You know what faith is, don't you? Faith's what you do when nothing else is doing. Faith's what you do when nothing else is going on. It's easy to serve God when it's feely, bubbly, wuzzy. But Job said this, I can't find him. And I looked to the front, and he wasn't there. I looked behind me and he wasn't there. And behold, to the left and to the right, and behold, he wasn't there. And so I did the only logical thing. I kept staying my course. See, God will leave you to see what's in your heart. Integrity. Thank you, ma'am. Integrity is what you do when no one else is looking. God is restoring integrity to the church. Integrity is what you do and who you are when no one else is around. And the greatest devil that you'll ever face is the one in between your ears. It's the one that constantly wars against the knowledge of God. Constantly warring and telling you, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Don't you know your checkbook's overdrawn? I'm talking about in here. I ain't talking about out here. I'm talking about in here. Who do you think you are? That's when you have to know that you know that you know who you are. You say, no. This bounce checkbook is not who I am. It has nothing to do with who I am. Because who I am, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. You know what, church? If not us, then who? Page 3 of our deal. We're talking about the tabernacle the other day, and I want to share this. God moves in 3 dimensions, into 30, 60, 100-fold realm. He's been taking us through these levels in him, and you don't even know it. But every time you get into a new level in God, he processes you through the 30, 60, 100-fold. See, we come out of Egypt into the wilderness and into Canaan land. The 1, 2, 3, the 3-fold out of Egypt into the wilderness and into Canaan land, 100-fold. We left Egypt, and they were all dressed up for battle, and they went through the wilderness with no battles to fight. I like the church. They're so funny to me. And I am a part of the church. I'm looking at all of it. We're just so funny. Reminds me of David when Saul and Goliath, remember Goliath stood and for 40 days and 40 nights, he came and presented himself to the whole army. The Bible says that all of Israel was dressed for battle. But you know what? No one wanted to really fight. We learned all about warfare, but no one really wanted to fight with what's really going on inside of us. They want to walk around the city and pour oil all over the city and claim the city, and you can't deal with the devil that's in your mind. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Don't worry about what's going on out here. Like people talking about, hey, I got a devil in my house. And he's destroying my house. No, he ain't, honey. It's your attitude that's destroying your house. It's your stinking attitude that's destroying your house. Do something with what's going on inside of you. We're so spooky, we ain't even funny anymore. I call it the church has been armed and not dangerous. Took a little bitty boy, shepherd boy, David. Took a little bitty 17-year-old boy to have enough sense to say, this ain't going to work. That's but he had a cause. My prayer for this generation that we will have a cause. We don't have a cause. It's the first generation without a cause. If you go back and trace every move of God, it happened because there was a cause. The people got rallied behind a cause. The Great Depression came. And you know what happened after that? A great revival. The miracle revival. And then there was Vietnam, and then there was no cause, and then a great move of God came out of that. You know what I like about this generation? They don't know what they want to be, but they know what they don't want to be. They're set up. They're ripe for the picking. If you can just show them who they are, in spite of what they wear, in spite of what they listen to, in spite of how many holes they got in your head, if you can see past that and see the truth, they're only doing that for your attention anyway. We had a great move of God come. We had people come with purple hair, blue hair, witches coming in every week. I mean, and then the rappers were coming. We had every tongue, tribe, and race coming. And if they would come in after a while, after about 2 months, their pants started raising up a little bit. The hair started going back to the normal color. And they started taking these nasty old rings. I mean, some girl had a ring here and here and connect to the belly button. I mean, if they went like that, the change would come out of the pocket. You know what I'm saying? But because we didn't look at the outward, was willing to look at the treasure within them, they finally realized, this is not me. This is not me. I got to pull it. This ain't who I am. People get all freaked out. They're doing it because you will get freaked out. If you didn't get freaked out, they wouldn't do it. And it wouldn't be no fun. It wouldn't be no fun if we didn't freak out. The church preached against it for so long, it forced them to do it. He put the law on them for so long, it forced them to break that law. Because we are people who are not going to be put under any law. I didn't say we wouldn't be in order. I just say we ain't going to be under law. Are we there at the tabernacle? I'm gonna go here. At the tabernacle, you come into the outer court. Everybody say outer court. Outer court. And you come into the inner court. Into the holiest of holies. Which is the 30, 60. Which is the process of God, is that you go from the 30 to the 60. Now, are y'all with me or not? You want me to stop or?
No, you better go ahead. Come on.
That was my introduction. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, we got next week, and the next week, and the Lord willing, we got till Jesus comes. You know, Bishop Ash prophesied to Pastor Aaron that we would get together somehow. And we just didn't go right out and do it. We waited 5 months. I'm like, what is his problem? No, we waited 5 months. But he said there would be a move of God, birth out of this connection. God moves out of connectedness. Not just get a bunch of people together and pray. He wants you to be connected. Because in that connectedness, there's a covenant exchange. And we take what he has and we give him what we have. And now we too become one, a greater one. See, we're too busy about trying to get God to move. Thank you. God only moves where there's nothing. The earth was out form and void. And then God moved. God don't move. If God does move, it ain't because you're doing good. It ain't because you got all your ducks in a row. It ain't because you have everything planned out perfectly. God's not looking for a cleaned up house. God's not looking for a perfect house. God's looking for a messed up house. God's looking for a desperate people. God's looking for a hungry people. A people with nothing left to lose. The blessing is in being hungry, not being filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst The blessing is being hungry. And for 20 years, we've been preaching people how to be filled. Well, we should preach them to be hungry. Hungry for God. Hungry. Are you hungry for God? We think we're not blessed till we get what we get wanting. Man, what you got is your biggest curse. The best thing you do is stay hungry for God. Your hunger makes the food the food. Your hunger makes the food what it is. If you're not hungry, food ain't food. Food's just nothing. But when you're hungry, every morsel of meat is precious. I'm still hungry. 20 years and I'm now I'm more hungry. I was up till 4 o'clock this morning. God would not leave me alone. I'm hungry for him. My soul thirsts after him. My heart longs after him. To hear the truth, the truth, the truth. Because only the truth when we know it will set you free. People know about the truth, but truth ain't a concept. Truth is a person. Truth is in the person of Jesus Christ. And to know him is to be free. I'm hungry for God. I'm just asking him last night. I'm saying, Lord, where are those connections? Where are those connections? We come into the outer court. The outer court was 4,000 cubits. It was 4,000 years from Adam into Jesus. Everybody say, I'm in process. We're going somewhere. The inner court was 2,000 cubits. And incidentally, there was 2,000 years from Jesus to today. And then there was a third dimension, the holiest of all, which was 1,000 cubits. Are you ready for that? 30, 60, 100. Outer court, inner court, holiest of all. Are you with me? And on the third day, tear down this temple, and on the third day, everybody say, third day, I'll raise it up. A day with the Lord's 1,000 years. We're entering into the 3,000th year after Jesus died, to the third millennium, the third day, he said, I will raise up myself in my temple. God destroyed the temple on purpose so that he would the only one get the glory for raising it up. And we went through the wilderness. And in the wilderness, all the men of war died. Because when you go into Canaan land, it's a whole nother warfare. Amen. The old way of fighting is not going to work over here. Amen. Listen to me. The old way of fighting, the old warfare mentality won't work in the new land. Yeah. It worked great in the wilderness. But you were just playing war anyway. Because there wasn't nothing going on. You're in the wilderness. But in that wilderness, we were birthed in the wilderness in the time when the church had nothing going on, in the time when there was no healing, no deliverance, no preservation. God didn't speak. Nothing was going on. I mean, yeah, there was good people. We had good services. But I mean, God, it was just wilderness. And we were born in the wilderness. We were wilderness babies. Those were the people that went into the next generation. Those went into Canaan land. I want to bless you tonight. I want to bless you tonight. I want to bless you because Jesus said, tell them that I'm the one that is and was and is to come. That messes with your mind. Because he told John to write, and he told John, now John, you write it like this. I'm the one who was and is to come. But he says the true revelation of me is I'm the one that is. And I was and I am to come. I'm the one that is. Jesus can only exist in our life in a now dimension. Now faith is. Today is the day. We're living in a now dimension. If you're worried about your past, it pulls you out of your now. If you're so concerned about your future, it pulls you away from your now. So many people. You know what? Let me help you here. Wherever you're at, just be. Come on now, let's have church here. Wherever you're at, just be there. Just be there. Where are you at? Be there. Where are you? Be where you're supposed to be. Because where you are is where you're supposed to be right now. Just be there. So many people are worried about where they're going. They can't enjoy where they're at. So many people worried about what happened in the past. They can't enjoy where they're at now. So concerned about other things, they can't enjoy the now moment, because now is all you have. You don't have a future. You don't have a future, because your future don't really exist, because you can't get there from here. Come on. You can't get to your future. You can see it, but you can't get there. Why? Because when you get there, it's no longer your future. It's your now again. And we live in a now. Am I messing with you? It's okay. We live in a now dimension. Tomorrow when I wake up, it's my future. But it's my yesterday's present past. And when I get up to tomorrow, my tomorrow will be my today. So I can only live in today. And that's why Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. Because it pulls you out of your now. It pulls you out of where you're at right now. You're so worried about tomorrow, you can't do anything for me today. Can't enjoy me. Can't love me. Can't work for me. Can't even love yourself today. Well, I'm doing all right anyway. People worried about your future are going to mess up your now. Jesus said, tell them I'm the one that is, and I was, and I am to come. And listen, a true revelation from God, a true prophetic voice from God. Prophetic voice is how he chooses to reveal himself.
That's right.
The true voice of God shows you where you're at, reveals who you are now. It goes into your past and gives you a purpose and a reason for your past. Answers all the questions about your past and then thrusts you into your future and can show you your future. There's a reason why we went through what we went through. There's a reason. We don't know what all is, but I'm telling you, there's a reason. When you begin to see him in the now, you'll start understanding the purpose of back then. And when you start understanding the purpose of back then, you got to go back to the first, to the beginning, before you can see the end. And when you start seeing the purpose of your past, then you can see the where you're going for your future. Thomas says this in his book. I know you don't read it, but it's all right. He's a good man. The church made him out to be a really bad guy, doubting Thomas. No one ever said he was doubting.
That's right.
Come on now. There ain't no scripture calling him doubting Thomas. Jesus never called him doubting Thomas. We did. We call him poor old doubting Thomas. Hey, come on now. He was not doubting Thomas. The word Thomas, they called him Didymus, which means double, twin, exactly looking like Jesus. His name is Didymus. That means he acted the most like Jesus than all of them. Ditto. Ditto. There's old Ditto. Hey, Ditto, how you doing? But we grow up in church thinking he's doubting Thomas. But thank God for Thomas, because he said, I am not going to believe unless I touch it for myself. You know what your problem is? You've been believing everybody else. You ain't never touched him for yourself. Somebody better get enough guts to be like Thomas. Say, I'm not going to believe this till I can touch it for myself. Doubting Thomas, my, give me a break. He lived with Jesus for 3.5 years and you didn't.
Hello.
Y'all still love me? See, sometimes Jeremiah says you got to pull down, pluck up, root up, and destroy before you can build and plant. And we're going to do a lot of rooting up, plucking down, pulling up, and destroying. We're going to break down some old foundations because we want to build a good foundation. Because the bigger the building, the deeper the foundation. We're going to dig a deep foundation here. It's going to go deep. It's going to be able to go as tall as God wants to get it. And we got to tear up the old foundation. We got to tear up some old things and rethink. You know what the word repent means? Rethink. I know y'all thought it was crying a lot of tears and coming up and let everybody holler over you. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, that was good for then, but this is now. It's a new day. And I don't doubt that God touches people. I love it. I love to see young people get touched the most because they don't know what to do when God moves on them.
That's right.
They start hollering, laughing, screaming, crying all at the same time. They don't know what to do. I'm not denying that God doesn't do that, but what I'm saying is repentance is much more than just feeling sorry. Repentance means to change your thinking. And the hardest thing we're going to do is to change people's thinking.